Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Been doing a series on human connection, and I want to explore and take some time today to talk about human relationships and how we connect to each other. It's kind of a curious thing that what we long for most, we fear the most. That which seems to be, that's what we want the most, we seem to be less capable of creating. There isn't a single person who walked on the face of the earth that doesn't long to connect with another human being. And there isn't a person on the planet in their journey to connect who hasn't at times felt frustrated or confused as to why making these connections are so difficult. Human beings were designed in the image of God, and God is a God of relationship and love. And so because of that, we are designed for relationship and love. And at the very core and essence of our lives, no matter what else is working in our lives, no matter what else we may accomplish in our lives, no matter what anyone perceives as success in our lives will feel hollow and empty if we don't have this human connection as well as this God connection. Some of us will spend all of our lives trying to fill the vacuum that only God and human connection can bring. And we try to fill it with the things that we can attain in this life, or we wonder why we're always falling short of helping us find this wholeness and the healing that we deserve and long for. In Ephesians 4:32, this is a beautiful little declaration that says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. That is just a good motto for life. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. What I want to talk about for the next moments is probably one of the most essential ingredients for not only making human connection, but keeping human connection, and it's forgiveness. So many times we struggle through life and we can't figure out why we keep drifting farther and farther away from people. We don't realize that this dynamic of forgiveness is so essential to staying connected that without it, we'll never know human connection on its deepest level. We say human connection many times. People think of this. The human connection is with the universe. It's interesting that we find it much easier to connect to the universe than to connect to God, to connect to energy rather than spirit, or nature rather than humanity. I think part of the reason that we're drawn to pictures like this is because the universe never lets us down. It's easier to connect to energy because energy will not betray you. And when we think of the most profound human experiences, we usually need to get people out of the room so we can have our sacred space. So no matter how many trees you meet, one of them will not break your heart. No matter how many sunrises or sunsets you experience, or how much the universe you connect to, they will never disappoint you or betray you or hurt you. Many times we're afraid of thinking of God as a person, because if God is a person, maybe he's like people. And people hurt us and wound us and leave us broken and empty. And so we don't want a God who's personal. We want a God who is impersonal many times. And yet in the middle of the scriptures, in the middle of this conversation, that God is connecting us with himself, he takes time to talk about connecting us to each other. He says, forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Here's a curious thing about a relationship with Jesus. It says a relationship with God begins with experiencing forgiveness. Now, to experience forgiveness, you have to need forgiveness. And to experience forgiveness, you have to acknowledge that you need forgiveness. And one of the most difficult things in the world for a human to do is admit that they are wrong. And you can imagine starting a relationship with someone just right off the bat, telling them all the things that you've done wrong. There'd be no second date. Hey, before dessert comes, I have a criminal record. I just wanted you to know. Or I should tell you, before you order, I don't pay. Or I just want you to know, I'm still with my boyfriend. How many second dates would you have if we started with, well, here's the problem. It's hard for us to conceptualize a relationship with a God who is perfect and holy, and a God who knows everything about us, who knows the part of us that's broken and falling short, and to believe that relationship could actually be formed in the context of that kind of authenticity and transparency and vulnerability. When in fact, that is the only way relationships are forged, is when someone can see you for who you are with honesty and humility and love you completely and fully. And it would be one thing for us to make this connection with God, but God says, no, that's not enough. We were designed for human connection. So the same way that there has to be a relationship of forgiveness between me and God, we are going to need to learn how to relate to each other through forgiveness. Have you ever hurt someone and you knew it was you? You made the wrong choice. You said the wrong thing. You made a bad decision and something so hurtful, and you can't take it back. You can't take those words back. They are out there. You wounded somebody you love, and when you were truly, truly sorry and you wish you could take it back, but you couldn't. You longed for forgiveness, but they refuse to forgive you. Have you ever been in that situation? Do you know if you actually need forgiveness, it means that we experience guilt and shame. If you never need forgiveness, if you hurt someone and you harm someone and you lie to someone and you've damaged your relationship, but you don't feel any kind of guilt or shame, they call that a psychopath. The ability to experience that sorrow is part of humanity, of being human. That's what makes us beautifully human. And if you don't experience that sorrow, there's something broken in your soul. And it's odd that we have this need to be forgiven. It doesn't set us up for strength. It can make you feel weak. That someone maybe that you have not seen in years, that maybe lived thousands of miles away from you, still has a hold on your soul because you know what it's like to long for someone's forgiveness and for them to withhold it from you. It suffocates your soul. It's as if there's a knife in your soul and they refuse to remove it. And you have no power over their choices and how it affects you. Why would another person's refusal to give you forgiveness have such an effect on our soul? How do we explain that? Except that there might be more going on. And even our need to give forgiveness, when you forgive someone who doesn't deserve to be forgiven but longs for it, when you forgive someone, you have power that you've released in their life. By the way you forgive someone, it doesn't just affect their life, it affects your life. When you forgive someone, it changes you for the better. By the way, when you refuse to forgive someone, it also changes you for the worse. You know, Steve and I, we go on vacation with my sisters and their husbands, you know, when somebody has a birthday or something, and we've done this. And then this is my two older sisters who live, they were next door neighbors in the D.C. area. They lived together. I mean, it's always been like that. I've been like the third wheel, you know what I'm saying? So they every Friday night they get together and they play poker and they, you know, and I know, and I love them, I do, I love them. But all growing up, there was always this kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? So anytime I'd go on vacation, I'd remind Steve, now don't, if they start teasing or picking on me, don't you agree with them. I mean, it was just something, and it was just in play, it was just fun, but there was something in me that I just, don't you do it. So, you know, we'd be on vacations, and then it would happen. And I couldn't let anybody know. I mean, I can't let my sister know I'm offended, you know. I just laugh, like, oh, yeah. I just would leave, you know, go in the other room. Well, you know, and then Steve will come in the room later, and he has the audacity to talk to me. And I was so offended. You know, you ever get so offended, but you can't let anybody know it? You just kind of carry it. But I couldn't wait to let Steve know exactly what he had done. You know, a few minutes later, he comes in the room, and I said, he talked to me like everything was fine. It's like, no, I'm not going to let this happen. No, you know what you did, I said. He go, what? What did I do? So I go ahead and explain to him in much detail. Nothing's more irritating when you get offended by someone and they don't even know they offended you. Has that ever happened to you? How you can be offended and they're not even aware. So I explained to him in much detail. And his first response was, well, how many times have you done that to me? And I'm like, there you go. It's not about me now. Don't deflect. Talk about it. This moment right here. We're not talking about the past. He said, how many times in the past have you done that? Well, we're not talking about the past. No, we're talking about this moment right now. Leave the past in the past. Let's talk about now. And he goes on to talk about the people that I did that to before. No, we're not going to talk about those. Those people are not here. We're talking about now. You did this. So don't bring up other situations. We're not talking about that. We're talking about this right now. Have you ever been offended and then you know what he did? You know what he did? Have you ever been offended and they have the audacity to ask you for forgiveness? He goes, I am so sorry. No, we're not going to get away with that. No, I've seen that one. You just say you're sorry, and then you just expect me just to forgive you. No, you need to own this. I need to hold this for a little longer. Yeah, have you done that? I think you have. You've gotten really frustrated with someone because they asked for forgiveness and they were sincere? Because all of a sudden it's back on you now. It was on them, and now it's on you. I couldn't say I don't forgive you. I knew better than that, especially when I have to get up here and preach about forgiveness. But I didn't fully say it from my heart. Have you ever said the words, but in reality, you weren't letting it go? And I started to feel my internal world and understand why Jesus takes the time to talk about just not just receiving forgiveness from God, but receiving and giving forgiveness from each other. Jesus died for you to be connected to God, but he also died for you to be connected to each other. Ye are the body of Christ. And he wants us to understand that unforgiveness will polarize you. It will separate you. It will distance you. Unforgiveness will sever the ties between you and the people you love. And you'll spend your entire life wondering, what happened? In Matthew 18:21, Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? I mean, you need to understand something about Peter. Peter was really good at opening his mouth before thinking, and he would put himself he'd fall on his face, you know, and put himself in awkward positions where he didn't want to look stupid again. So he says, and he knows Jesus is always upping the ante, so he said, seven times? And all the disciples were going, whoa, seven, whoa, that's a lot. But you know what he says? He says, no, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Jesus is saying, however many times you need to forgive, you have the power to forgive one more time. You need to forgive until the numbers run out. You need to keep forgiving as long as forgiveness is needed. You need to forgive 70 times seven. So I have bad news for you. Jesus is giving you a little insight into human relationships. Do you want to have long-term human relationships? Be ready to forgive 70 times seven. You will never have a relationship where forgiveness is not needed. You will never sustain a relationship where forgiveness is not given. And you will never move into intimacy in a relationship if forgiveness is not sought. So the bad news is, you'll never have a relationship with someone without an endless journey of forgiveness. But the good news is that you have the capacity to forgive endlessly. Isn't that amazing? With so many things, we have limits. Limited IQ, limited athletic ability, limited height. Have you ever felt your limits? Oh, I'm feeling it as the numbers creep up. When it comes to forgiveness, you are not limited. You are unlimited to your capacity to forgive. Your limitations for forgiveness are completely in your hands. You're the one that has to choose to stop forgiving. In Matthew 6:12, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And right in the middle of the statement, he says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Now, I don't know about you, but this conditional stuff makes me kind of nervous. You see, I get God, I need your forgiveness. No one has to convince me of that. I'm really clear on that one. But I don't know if I like forgive me as I forgive. How many of you want God to forgive you as you forgive others? How many of you want God to use your standard of forgiveness for how he relates to you? In fact, it goes on in 6:14. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Whoa. Now, wait a minute. I feel anxious about reading that. He is saying, you do not know what makes God mad is your refusal to forgive people when he's completely willing to forgive you. Why in the world would we ever hesitate to forgive other people? If we would just take on the pattern of Jesus, we would all give forgiveness freely. But that would create an anarchy because we control people through guilt and shame. What kind of freedom does it give people when we forgive them when they've wounded us? In Luke 17:3, the conversation shifts a little bit. Jesus says, so watch yourself. If your brother or sister, believers, sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. And by the way, this is the pattern that's in the scriptures in Matthew 18. If someone offends you, then you go to them. And you tell them, hey, you know, that really hurt. And you give them the chance to make it right, and you restore the relationship. This is not our natural pattern. Our pattern has been, if someone offends you, you tell everyone else, but never go to that person. In fact, you tell everyone else until everyone is embittered against that person because that person never had a chance to explain their side. And then you have a coalition of haters on your side. But the Bible says one of the things that God hates is he that sows discord among the brethren. But Jesus says, if someone offends you, go to them. And by the way, if you don't know that person, they haven't offended you. You're misunderstanding your importance in that person's life. There's a human dynamic here that's supposed to be happening. And it's a human relationship. So here, follow me. It says, if your brother or sister sins against you, they actually sin against you, not you're carrying someone else's offense. They've done something against you. Then you go to them and you reprimand them. And if they repent, you forgive them. But that's the ideal scenario, that if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 4, go to the next one there, Chris. If that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. Have you ever had a friend like that? They just kept doing the same stupid thing over and over, and every single time they're generally sorry that they did it, but they're so trapped in a pattern that they can't seem to get out. And you are exhausted forgiving them. But Jesus says you just keep forgiving so that person knows that forgiveness is more powerful than failure. And Jesus is telling them, this is what I need you to do. And then in verse 5, the apostles said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. I love that because this statement is rarely connected to human relationships and forgiveness. Increase my faith. When we hear that phrase, increase my faith, it's always because we want some supernatural, spectacular thing. Oh, God, increase my faith so I can walk on water and speak to mountains. Increase my faith so I can be famous or wealthy or powerful. But hear that statement, increase our faith, is all about our command to forgive people when they hurt us. You want the test of faith? Love people. Hold them tight. And when they hurt you, when they let you down, when they disappoint you, don't let go. That's going to be the greatest act of faith in your life. Now, I want you to understand what I am not saying here. I am not talking about unhealthy dynamics of abuse. A lot of times, Scripture's been misused, and someone's in a relationship and physically or emotionally harmed, and they're told just to stay and forgive. No. You see, if you are in a position of powerlessness, you need to get out of that situation. I want you to be absolutely clear that forgiveness is an act of power. It is not an act of servanthood. It's an act of power. And when you own your power, then you can decide that what you're going to do with that power through forgiveness. But if you are in a place of powerlessness, in abuse, emotionally, physically, you need to get out and regain your power and empower yourself to forgive. When you have your power, then you have to decide that you have the power to forgive. So I want to challenge you. How much faith do you really want? Perhaps the most powerful words you'll ever speak into the life of another human being is, I forgive you. It takes great faith to forgive. When you forgive, you're declaring a future to that person that you've forgiven. When you've forgiven, when you're saying, I have faith to believe you will change. I have faith to believe that your past is not your future. I have faith to believe that your worst moment will not define you. I have faith to set you free so you can live the life you were created to live. That's the power of forgiveness. In Mark 11, 23, Jesus begins with this statement, have faith in God. And the reason he's saying that is have faith in God is because he's going to start talking about human relationships again. Jesus answered to him, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. We've used this declaration to say that you can just declare anything and it's going to happen. But I don't know about you, but I've declared a lot of things that haven't happened. Or I've prayed a lot of prayers that things didn't work out the way I wanted it to. That's not what he's saying. It's clearly not what Jesus is saying, but he's calling us to the most profound and deep and powerful relationship of faith and prayer that we could ever. And look at the next verse. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. A lot of times we don't put, that's all one scripture right there. If you want the wealth of God's generosity, his power, his forgiveness to pour freely in your life, you must become a conduit of grace and forgiveness and freedom and compassion in the lives of the people around you and the people that you know. I think a lot of times we think, God, why aren't you pouring yourself into me? Why are you not unleashing this freedom that I long for? And God is saying, would you look at what happens when you choose to live a life of bitterness and unforgiveness? You lock down your capacity to live in freedom that Jesus died to give you. That's the chains. Unforgiveness and bitterness will lock us up tight. Sometimes I'll travel with Steve. We'll go to a hotel or for the district sometimes, and I hate it when it's not clearly marked hot and cold on the shower. You know, I'll go all the way to the left, and it's freezing cold, and then I go all the way to the right, and leave for it and come back, and it's still freezing cold. Wait a bit. Have you ever had both directions are like ice cold? You see, when you hold bitterness in your heart, you only run cold. You actually trap all the positive emotions inside of you, and they cannot be released. When you choose to live a life of unforgiveness, the only emotion that will come out of you are ones that bring out the worst version of you. When you're unforgiving, bitterness flows freely. Anger flows freely. Violence flows freely. Jealousy, greed, envy, they flow freely when we are bitter. And when you're bitter, emotions like love, joy, hope, they're trapped underneath the rubble of bitterness and unforgiveness. And sometimes we like to lie to ourselves. Have you ever told yourself, I'm just bitter and mad at this one person? That's all, no one else. But here's the truth. Your soul is not segmented into human compartments. If you're carrying bitterness in your heart, it chokes out the word from producing fruit in your life. When you become bitter toward one person, the bitterness affects every other relationship in your life. When you become unforgiving toward a person, and you lack forgiveness, it affects all of our relationships, including your relationship with God. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble and many be defiled. If you are carrying bitterness, you will defile everyone you're around. And you won't see the connection either. You just think you're just sharing your heart. But you'll lose the intimacy in the relationship that you want because you've refused to step into the forgiveness that needs to be forgiven in the relationship that you've walked away from. Bitterness, unforgiveness, it doesn't just shape the people that it's directed toward. It shapes the very essence of you. It makes you who you are. So I go back to the shower. When you turn the knob in both directions and it gets only cold and you stop believing that it's even going to work, eventually you find the right direction. But when you jump in, it's scalding hot. Because when you are in a posture of unforgiveness, you run cold and then you come out hot. You burn everyone you touch. So Jesus says, look, I want to give you such incredible faith that shapes the environment which you live. But you understand that your faith is going to be connected to your forgiveness. And some of you here, the next step in your life, the most important choice in your life that you will allow to live, you will allow you to live free, is to give forgiveness that you've refused to give. And I know you have to forgive people who don't deserve it. That's why it's hard. You have to give people who don't even want it. That's even harder. When you aren't forgiving them because you're not forgiving them because they're right, you're not agreeing with them. Or that they're justified. No, you're forgiving them because you've been given the power to forgive. Forgiveness is an act of power. And some of you need to go back and ask for forgiveness and make things right. You need to humble yourself and step into the opportunity to set you free from what holds you in guilt and shame. And the beautiful thing is that even if they choose not to forgive you, you are not held captive by them any longer. The moment you decide to own your past, the moment you decide to own your choices, you own your life and you become clean. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, God, I blew it. But I don't want to be defined by that. I don't want that to be who I am. And in that moment, God will etch a sketch your soul and you get a fresh start and new. It's not like sometimes we don't have to live with the consequences of our choices, but that choice will not shape who you are in the future. You will walk into a new future, clean. And then there's some that just need to learn how to forgive yourself. I think sometimes that's the hardest. The great deception about bitterness is that it feels like you're strong because you don't feel anything. But unforgiveness gives you a hard heart. What happens is you become numb. So you think you're strong, but bitterness fades strength. Bitterness is actually an act of weakness. For you to be strong, it means you allow your heart to be tender again. We pray that we might know and experience the love of God, the height and depth, that we might have the power to experience that love. To be strong means you forgive others and you ask and receive forgiveness and you learn to forgive yourself. You understand that we're all fallen, we're all messed up. And you are who you are. You are not who you want to be if you're holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness. Because if God is perfect and he's forgiven you, then who are you to argue with God? Embrace that forgiveness. It will set you free. Some of you are numb because you're afraid to love. You become numb because you're afraid to trust. You're numb because you were betrayed. You were wounded. And you thought that numbing was the only way that you won't have to feel pain again. And here's the bad news. It's true. If you allow God to give you a tender heart and choose to give and receive forgiveness, your heart will become soft and tender again, and you will be hurt again. But you know what? You're stronger than the wounds. You're stronger than the pain. And love is more powerful than anything the world can give, than anything anyone could ever do. And you'll have such great faith to love and to trust and to care again. But you have to decide. Will you live in the power of forgiveness and find the freedom that only comes there? If there's anyone who should have lived in offense, it would be Jesus. He came and took on flesh and blood. He came to one of us to make the human connection. And we betrayed him. We mocked him. We spit on him. We killed him. And while he was dying on the cross, his heart's cry was, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." So every prayer that Jesus prayed, the answer is yes. You've already been forgiven. You have to actualize that forgiveness by stepping into it and receiving it. Even though you feel like you don't deserve it. That's the whole point. Nobody deserves forgiveness. The whole point is none of us deserve anything. It was all his doing. Because he took great pleasure in loving us. So maybe it's time to stop hiding our need, to be set free, to become new, to receive the forgiveness that Jesus came to give you. And I don't know your story. I don't know what's going on in your soul. But if you're here and you've been drowning in your own guilt and shame and your own sense of inadequacy, you've always felt like you were not enough or you never really were going to be loved. If anyone knew you, they would run away hard and fast. I want you to know that Jesus knows every fiber of your being and he loves every bit of you. And he wants you free. He wants you to own your power to receive forgiveness and to give it freely. If you're here and you've already received that forgiveness, you've already come to the cross and you said, "Jesus, I give you my life." You died on the cross and you rose. If you've never really said, "Jesus, I give you my life," he's knocking on the door of your heart right now. He's a gentleman. He's waiting for you to open that door and you give him your life. He gives you his life. He said he'll come in and he'll eat the main meal of the day with you. He will be your all in all. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will fill that void that only he can fill. Beginning of connection to God who loves you and created you is when you say, "Jesus, I give you my life." You see, the way this works is you give him your life. Every day, we take up our cross. That's why we say, "Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you that you give me yours." And that's where we say, "I have been crucified with Christ." Why can we walk in forgiveness? Why can we give forgiveness freely? Because it's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. You can't offend a dead man. I have been crucified with Christ. Just tell him, Jesus, I give you my life. And at this moment, if you'll open up your heart and give him your life, he will make you new right now. If you give him the bitterness, if you release. See, when you're unforgiving to somebody, it's like you have them in a cage in your heart. And every once in a while, you take them out and you beat on them. And then you throw them back in the cage. Jesus is saying, will you open that cage and let them go free? Because you will go free.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.